Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada. Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada. Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada. Jaya Radha Gopi, Radha Radha Gopi Nanda, Radha Gopi Nanda Shri Radhe. Jaya Radha Gopi, Radha Radha Gopi Nanda, Radha Gopi Nanda Shri Radhe. Gaura Premanandi, Hari 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 Krishna. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kritya naram chaiva narotamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam mudirayam nashtaprayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yutamasloke bhakti bhavati naishtiki. Hare Krishna. We had two guided japa sessions, and I would like to frame this chanting of the holy name in japa and in kirtan in a very necessary way. See, when we chant Hare Krishna, which is the prime sadhana of the ISKCON movement, it's more than just a practice. It's more than just an item of the morning program. Chanting the holy name is primarily an attempt to establish a relationship with Krishna. The relationship with Krishna, which each single jiva or living entity has, is and must remain the prime goal of all genuine spiritual practice. This relationship is so important because without it we wouldn't be there. No one of us would exist without Krishna, because we exist as parts of Krishna. Look at the tree outside the window. None of its leaves would be there if the tree would not be there. You follow? The leaves are integral parts of the tree. And the existence of the leaf is absolutely dependent on the tree. We know if a tree would be cut or would fall due to age, in a matter of maybe a week, the leaves would dry out, become brown, and eventually end up as compost. Not as leaves any longer. They would disintegrate. So, in much the same way, our existence is caused, maintained, and therefore absolutely dependent on Krishna. We can't do without. Yet, this relationship is so utterly forgotten. I would like to give an analogy. See, all of us are dependent on breathing. Do you realize that if you would not have air for, I do not know, it depends from person to person. Some for a minute, others 2 or even 3 minutes, experienced divers can hold out or exist without air, but although our existence is so dependent on air,
we are usually not aware of that we breathe in air and that it goes to the lungs and distributes itself first into the bloodstream and then into every singular cell. We are just not aware of this, no? We do not talk about air unless it's really critically polluted, you know. But otherwise, there is no awareness. Did you think one time during the morning program of the air which you are breathing? Most probably not, unless you did some pranayama breathing exercises. But even then, we are more aware of the movements and less aware of the air. We don't see the air around us, yet we are utterly dependent on it. Imagine the air would be sucked out of this room and the windows would be shut airtight. I don't think they are airtight, but just as a thought experiment, we would within seconds be in the most traumatic condition we can imagine. Our existence is dependent on the air, yet we are not aware of it. Much more than that, much more than what is expressed in this example, is our dependence on Krishna. We are so absolutely dependent on Krishna, but we are rarely aware. Maybe during a lecture we are for a moment aware, but then after the lecture is finished, we forget again. Because we can't see Krishna. And it's difficult to think of Krishna because Krishna is beyond the grasp of both the senses and the mind. The Vedas inform us the thoughts may go and try to reach out towards the Lord, yet they return without having reached and grasped and understood Him. So therefore, although our existence is so much dependent on Krishna, because we can't see Him, and we can only think of Him when we have heard something from authorized sources about Him. Therefore, Krishna is for many of us an evasive subject, something which we know is there, but we just can't get a hold on it. However, when you do genuine practice of Krishna consciousness, you can establish a relationship that is more real than the relationship you have to your best friend.
Yes.
And I would like to talk in this morning class about our relationship with Krishna and how to establish it. Do you think this is a good subject matter? Is it of interest?
Yes.
We need to address and cure this problem that we are dependent on Krishna, we exist only because of Him, like the leaves who only exist due to the presence of the tree. Yet we are so rarely aware of His presence in our life. It's a problem. The Czech author Kafka tried to address this by talking of a dog. it's not a polemic example, who is given every day by his master food. But somehow this particular dog has his eyes only fixed on the ground, and therefore he does not see that he is supplied by a master, because somehow the master always brings the food and lets it drop down on his plate. And the dog, although entirely dependent on the master, thinks somehow the food is appearing on his plate due to his excellent qualities. I forgot exactly Kafka. Some of you have read Kafka. He has a little twisted mind as an author, but he comes out with brilliant ideas in his short stories. But some of them are so morbid that I have not been able to appreciate it. And anyways, as a devotee, we are just maybe a little touching this world literature when we need it for preaching. But yes, so in much the same way, we feel very entitled or very we have not a lot of thought on the one who maintains our very existence, our very being, who is both responsible for our physical and for our mental existence, because he supplies us everything which we take, for instance, is just a transformation of his energies. You know, even the cloth which you are wearing is a transformation of cotton or synthetic materials, which are again coming ultimately out of this material nature, which is his energy. And as we hear from the 15th chapter of the Gita, also our thinking, our mental processes are absolutely dependent on Krishna. You remember most properly, Savasya Charam Hridi Sannivishto Mata Smitya Jnanam Apohanam Cha. No? From me come knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Or to put it in a modern language, from me comes thinking. It is, we are so dependent, yet so forgetful. And the process of Krishna consciousness means to address and then cure this problem. This is, I feel, Srila Prabhupada's great contribution. I think it was in England. Prabhupada had arrived from an international flight and was interviewed. Why have you come to England? And he answered famously, I've come to bring you what you have forgotten. Very good answer. Who are we to say good, but very to the point. My dear devotees, in the guided japa sessions, I avoided one point which this morning will stare in each of your face. I told you that when we do japa, we should align our body to the practice. You remember what we should do? Sit and then pronounce and listen. Three items, no? Sit properly, pronounce the mantra clearly, and listen attentively. With this, we are using our first endowment, divine endowment. Do you understand the word endowment? Endowment, it is something which is given to you. It is a divine gift, the body. No? There is a second endowment or gift which we all have as human beings. It's our mind. During good japa, we do really two things. We bring the mind back to the chanting of the holy name. And does someone remember the second thing? I mentioned it only briefly, so I can imagine that it was not so clear.
Listen.
You listen, yes, that you do already in the with the body. It's a physical activity to listen, but yes, listen means to hear with attention, so there's an element of the mind. Attention is from the mind. You are absolutely in the present moment. You don't think of the day. You don't think that most probably after Sachinanda Swami is gone, you will take a rest. You don't think that of the, what is there for breakfast tomorrow, today. You are absolutely not in the future. You are also not thinking of the past, what happened yesterday, what WhatsApp message you have to respond to. It's really getting late. They need an answer from you. You are absolutely in the present moment, and in the present moment is only. This is the present moment. It's already. We can't even speak about it because the moment we speak about it, it's already past. No, it's. How do you describe the present moment? I think you cannot describe exactly what it is, but we all know what we mean when we say now. But already it's gone, the now. So when you chant, you try to remain in this mysterious moment called the presence. So when it's Hari, it's totally Hari. There's nothing else than Hari happening. When you go to the next name of the Lord, Krishna, it's only Krishna. Nothing else is there. You rest in the ever-present now. What do you think about this? Is this too abstract of a concept? Or we usually hear it, concentrate, be there, be there, be there in your japa. But what it really amounts to is to not be in the present, not be in the past, and not be in the future. It is a very good yogic exercise. I notice it is difficult. This dancing and chanting is easy, but when there's japa, oh, you can see the room empties out very quickly. I have made a statistical notes in my mind. There was not even half of you were present at the end. There were only maybe a dwindling fourth of you. It was still thinning out. You know, because it is not so easy to focus the mind, especially not when we get up for Mangal Aarti and have been going to bed the night before with a heavy pizza in the belly, you know, and need to digest it. So good. But there is something which is much more advanced than focusing, aligning. Do you understand the word aligning in English? Yes. The body and aligning the mind. It's aligning the heart. The heart is a place which is a pump in one dimension. It's a seat of emotions, but the heart is more than anything the seat of the spirit, the soul and the Paramatma, the super soul. So when you want to chant properly, you are aware of this relationship, the soul and the Lord in the heart. There is a very interesting example of someone who became aware of this relationship and changed something in her life. It's please don't mind it. It's a Bhagavatam example. It's of a prostitute. I don't know, have you ever met a proper prostitute? I know not for immoral activities, that I know, but have you ever seen? Yeah? You have seen, maybe as a client even? Yeah? They are a little different than normal people because of their very different activity. We had three of them who tried to become bhaktins, and they were very serious, but their mind is very restless. I have very tender, very, because they have done a profession which requires of them to numb out their feelings entirely. They are not really in contact, and they express when they feel safe. They are really not in a, it's really difficult for them. It's not a good profession. It is a profession which needs to be avoided by sincere spiritualists. There are, however, in the history, examples of them who became great devotees, maybe because they needed to walk away from their internal suffering and crises. One of them is Pingala, very famous. She is mentioned in the 11th canto. It is described that she had been standing in the town gate waiting for a customer. However, it was a religious festival and no one stopped. They all were, the visitors to the town were on the way to the temple. So Pingala thought, maybe I have to change my attire. So she went and redressed in a more attractive way. But even then, no one stopped. And as Pingala was all by herself, waiting for a customer in the town's gate, her mind changed. She understood, what am I doing? I'm totally dependent on lusty men to whom I sell my services. What am I doing? I have forgotten that one relationship. And see what she said. It is very moving what she said in her when she woke up from this. Santang samipa ramanam rati pradang mitta pradam nityam. Nitya means eternal. Imam vihaya akamadam dukkha bayadi shoka moha pradam tucham. Tucha means insignificant. Moha pradam tucham aham bhajegyam. She said, I'm such a fool that I have given up the service of that person who is eternally situated within my heart. I have given up the relationship to the person who's actually most dear to me. That most dear one is the Lord of the universe, who bestows real love and happiness and is the source of all prosperity. You know, I don't need to worry about money and my maintenance, because my best friend is the source of all prosperity. It means like wealth and all. Although he is in my own heart, he's so close. Although he is in my own heart, I've completely neglected him. Instead, I have ignorantly served insignificant men who can never satisfy my real desires and who have simply brought me unhappiness, fear, anxiety, lamentation, and illusion. So the great commentator Vishwanath Chakravarti comments this verse by verbalizing, putting in words, that what was in Pingala's heart when she said this verse. This is what Pingala really thought. The Lord resides in my heart. He lives there. He is the actual enjoyer. He loves, and he also accepts love. Why should I not give my love to him? And why would he not give his love to me? After this, Pingala felt relieved of her anxieties. She felt peaceful in her heart and very happy. Thus she left the town's gate and her questionable trade forever. This, my dear devotees, and my dear skeptics also, some of you are just coming and investigating, what is all this? This, my dear newcomer and oldcomer, is really the point of Krishna consciousness, to turn towards the Lord, who is the source of all of us, the maintainer, and the one who, if we turn to him, or should I say return to him, can give us what we are hankering for so desperately: love, happiness, the sense of absolute belonging and being protected. All this comes when we make this, is it called a pivotal turn, this decisive turn in our life, or decisive return to our life. This thing which we call Krishna consciousness, this exalted state, this happy state of consciousness, happens when a triangle is established. There has to be the Bhakta, there has to be the Supreme Lord Krishna, the object of his attention, and there has to be Bhakti. These three things, very simple. In Bhakti you have to think, who am I? Who are you? Meaning, who? You know everything. Who are you? And now we want to make a relationship. Very simple. You can remember this, no? Bhakta, Bhagavan, and Bhakti. If I would be Keshav Maharaj, I would make an acronym out of it. Let us call them the three B's. Three B's, no? You know everything you need to know, but you need to practice a whole life on this, in this triangle, to get it, to establish the relationship. There is a simple, let us say, process how to do this, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given to us. And I will teach this to you both in theory, and we will actually make an exercise on this. Now, let me see, you look quite all right. I was fearing that in this class you would all lie down eventually on the floor and make do the midnight raga, that means the snore. You are doing quite well so far. Our Mataji says one is a little relaxed. That's all right, that's all right. You got up early, most probably. Mm-hmm. Yes, so should we go on?
Yes.
Krishna. I will tell you first of all a fascinating story, because I noticed when I mentioned a little bit the mindset of these unfortunate ladies, you were all, wow, attentive, because when we hear something which is so out of our normal thought, we are focused. There is one work, you have heard about it, Bhaktamala, no? There is the, we find the life and the experiences of the devotees of Krishna, Rama, and Shingadev described. So there was this one unfortunate lady, a good word we have to look for, the name is a courtesan. In German we say courtesane. Do you know? It's much more polite. Courtesane. Let us call it a lady of deception, because it's not. So she was had a large estate. She had been a very beautiful lady, and as a result, there was a lot of customers, and she had a large estate. So one day, a group of devotees who were on pilgrimage passed her estate, and they thought, wow, there's so much land here, good shady trees, let us stop for a rest. And without knowing about who lived on that property, they just went there, they established an altar, some of them worshipped their Shilas, some of them started to worship Krishna deities, others sang in Kirtan, still others were engaged in discussions from the Shastra, from the scripture, and this lady was there in her palatial building and looked and saw this wonderful activity happening right before her eyes. She had never seen this, nor had she thought that it's possible that such saintly beings come and honor her estate, you know. So she was very, very pleased. She told her servants, go and ask them if they need anything. I'm afraid if they see me that they will leave the estate. So the servants came, and yes, the devotee, oh yes, we need vegetables, we need cooking pots, we need firewood, we want to cook for our deities and serve the Vaishnavas here. Yes, 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 yes. How much, what vegetables? Everything is available here. And the devotees thought, wow, a very hospitable house. we could build a temple here. They were really, really, she served them so nicely. Finally, after, I think it was the third day, she decided to come out. She dressed very simple, typical and simple, and she brought a plate which was full of jewels. She said she went to the leader of the devotees and placed the pile of jewels before him. This was an untold wealth which he brought. So the leader of the devotees said, who are you that you have such amount of wealth? You are still very young. She just cried and said, please don't ask me this question. I am too shy to say. No, no, child, you can speak openly. We are servants of the Lord. He loves everyone. And so we also have a heart for all of the living beings. And you have served so nicely. No, 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 please don't ask me. I don't want to say. And she cried. The leader of the devotees, don't cry. Here's some Mahaprasad. No! So. Then the devotee said, very perceptive. He could understand it. He nodded. He said, past is the past. You can surrender to Krishna from every level. He does not mind anything. If you serve him with sincere bhakti, he will forgive you for your past and mistakes. Don't worry a bit. And then he said, we don't have use for such piles of time. So much. We need a little chapati each day. That is all. But you could take this wealth and make a beautiful crown for Ranganath, the deity. So she thought, that's my chance. The devotees are kind to me. They have given a tip. So she took all the, you know, jewels like this. Can you imagine? Even Anil Agrawal will have difficulty to have so much wealth. You know, it is really, I'm speaking London English to you. And so she made the most beautiful, not she made, she went to a, who can do this, make a crown, to a jeweler. And the jeweler almost fainted seeing this wealth. And they got somehow the measurement from the temple for the crown. And finally the crown was ready. And she put the crown on a golden plate and entered the temple. But there was one brahmana who stopped her. Hey, what are you doing? I was told that I should bring this crown to Ranganath. Who are you? A fallen soul. No, no, more concrete. What is your name? Where do you come from? What's your caste? What's your profession? I cannot say. So then by now all these heavy priests were around her. You cannot say? Then you cannot offer this crown. At this moment a divine voice was heard. Let her come to me. Let her place the crown on my head. It was an Akashvani. And again, do not hesitate, you foolish priests. Can you not understand the voice of the one who you do puja to? there was clear who had spoken this. Okay, tiki, 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 tiki. I'm just very sorry, very sorry. And you, she could, yes, said the head priest. The Lord said she should come on the altar. So she was invited to come on the altar, and with her own hand, she placed the crown on the head of the Lord, because he wanted it so. Why? Because he wants a relationship to each single one, no matter if we are an aristocratic person, if we come from an educated background, if we come from a less educated background. The Lord does not care. He wants a relationship to all. One day before Jamashtami, our beloved Lord of Germany, his name is Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan. Oh, you have to see Radha Madan Mohan. You have to Google them at least, you know. They are so beautiful, and most important, they are so absolutely active in establishing a relationship to each pilgrim. So one day before Jamashtami, Madan Mohan was dressed in his bee outfit. Have I told you about the bee outfit of Madan Mohan? Well, he has a little, it goes up till here. It's shorts, because summertime. And they are yellow, black, yellow, black, like this, like the bee, you know. Then, wow, I must tell you, he has wings to fly, because it's his bee outfit. Yes, it's stunning, I realize that. He has wings to fly, and he flies. What he does is, he comes in the heart of all those who take his darshan, because it's described in Shastra, Madhusudan is the name of Krishna. He is interested in Madhu. What is Madhu? Honey, yes. But not ordinary honey. He wants the nectar of bhakti in the heart of his devotees or even anyone who comes there. One day you must go to see Radha Madan Mohan. This is really something. Oh boy, this is something. It is more than awesome. The word has not yet been invented. So, yes, the Lord has this bee outfit because he wants to show us, foolish people, that yes, like a bee who's interested in honey, it will fly to the flowers which have, he is interested in bhakti. He is interested in our relationship. So here is what you need to do every day to think about your relationship. First is, you must think of who you are. Do you sometimes do this, or is this too deep of a question? Who am I? Do you do this sometimes? Rarely.
They're all deep.
Very deep. Okay, then I have a deep audience. Who am I really? I mean, should I base my identity and activity on a lie? That I think I'm a Gujarati Vaishnav, you know, I'm the body, no, or German Vaishnav or African Vaishnav, it does not matter. No, we are pure soul. We belong to Krishna, not to Germany, not to Africa, not even to Gujarat. I'm saying this with a humorous twinkle in my eye. It is meant as good humor, not bad humor. Who am I? And then, who are you? Who is the Lord? This you have to ask. Who are you? Let us even address it a little bit more poignantly. What is the word? Poignantly? Poignant, yes. Who are you for me? Who is your God? Is it someone you don't think about? Is it someone you sometimes think about? Is it someone you think he will punish you for your foolishness, which sometimes is there? Who is God for you? Is he a merciful God? Is he a kind God? Who are you for me? And the last thing is, what is the purpose of me staying in this world? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, the only purpose of staying in this world is to correct my absent-minded relationship for him. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur has three meditations. I'm an atomic particle of consciousness and Krishna's eternal servant. Krishna is the infinite conscious entity and my only master. And the material world is a house of correction meant to reform my tendency to remain absent in our relationship. This is the one thing you want to learn, to be present in this relationship. This is why you read. This is why you chant. This is why you worship. The other things which we are sometimes stressing are side effects which come in the wake of doing Krishna consciousness. You know, when a boat goes over the ocean, there are some waves in the wake, and some seagulls are are diving there because you know the ocean is stirred up, and sometimes fishes come up, and then the seagulls have their food. So, but the main purpose is not for a boat going over the ocean, is not to feed seagulls. That's a side effect. The main purpose is to get somewhere, to cross the ocean. In the same way, a peaceful personality, finding your purpose, being in your inner strengths, you know, becoming convinced in life, these are side effects. They are not the main things. The main thing of Krishna consciousness is to get back into your relationship with Krishna. Huh? Do you understand? So should we make an exercise about this? My relationship with Krishna. This will be dangerous because you are from London and Londoners are so much, it's such a stressful life in London. I could not live there for even if you pay me 1 million euros a day. But I go there for free because of the preaching activities. It is the best place for spreading Krishna consciousness, but not for living. If you want to, this is a nice surrounding for living, good air. Of course, now there's a lot of building activities going on, so it's a little disturbed. Well, then you must come to Goloka Dham, to Radha Madan Mohan. But there we also build. We are at the moment, the movement is really developing like anything. Although the world is de-developing or degenerating, deteriorating, somehow Krishna is kind. So, all right, we will do something now. Should we energize ourselves a little bit? Okay, so Bhastika Pranayama. You ready? The window is open. Maybe, Mataji, the window a little bit more. Okay. So sit down. This is serious work, because it will. What we will do, we will energize our body and calm our mind with Bhastika Pranayama. When you go up, you want to create a stretch. Stretch a little, it's really stretch, like, oh, can you feel the stretch? But you have to reach the ceiling. You are so low with your stretch. And then as you go down and exhale, you make a fist, your thumb goes inside, like here, and you try to bring your elbows to your rib cage. Do you know what is a rib cage? Good. Because some of you are not in medical training. So. You really want to forcibly expel the air on an exhale. Yes, like that. Try to really go into the stretch. Yes? Stay in the speed. Some of you are speed masters. If some sweat comes, it's desired, so it's not. You bring your attention to the olfactory nerve. What is that? That's the nerve up here, here. What? The olfactory nerve. When it starts to get a little difficult, it's good. Okay, boys, and five more. Very good. Now, those who are men, please place your left palm under your navel and the right palm on top. Those who are ladies, take their right hand, place it under the navel, and the left hand on top of the right hand, and allow your mind to calm down. Regular and deep breathing. As you become more centered and more calm, envision in your mind's eye the following truth. I am an atomic particle of consciousness, and Krishna's eternal servant. This means I am categorically different from the body and mind. I am a tiny soul. I am an eternal blissful spiritual being. I'm a part of Krishna. Second, Krishna is the infinite conscious entity and my only master. For so long I've invested in so many other relationships, but now I understand that Krishna is my only master and my only true friend. And next, this material world, the town where I live, the country to which my passport identity belongs, is a house of correction, meant to reform my tendency to remain absent in our relationship. In other words, the only purpose of this material world is to teach me to connect and be present in my identity as Krishna's servant. To sing this beautiful kirtan, please sing it for Krishna. In other words, sing it in the awareness that Krishna listens to you. The holy name comes from your tongue or your mouth and then is coming to Krishna's ear and heart. Please sing now. Hare Krishna.
Amor.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhupada Chila, Prabhupada Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Gauranitai, Jaya Gauranitai, Jaya Radha Gopinatha, Radha Gopinatha, Radha Gopinatha, Sakhi Radhe. Jaya Gopalaj, 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 Jaya Radha Kanhaiya Lala.
Radha Kanaya Lala, 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 Radha Kanaya Lala. Gaur Premanandi, Hari 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 Go. Hare Krishna.
What do you think about this idea of the relationship to Krishna? Isn't that very important? And isn't that very soothing and relieving and giving to the heart? I thank you very much. I'm watching the time. I think it is clear, isn't it? Crystal clear. In summary, we all have a relationship, and Krishna, let us say, the relationship is even more important than our relationship with the air, for instance, or with the ground on which we walk. Because even the air and the ground on which we walk is there as an energy that has a source. The source is the Lord. So, yes, it is there, but we often overlook it. At least when we do our chanting of japa, we should be aware of this relationship. After aligning body and mind, we should also align the heart, really. The heart, which is the place of the soul and the supreme soul. That is the point I wish to make. I thank you very much for listening. I heard I have to reserve 10 more minutes. Pulkit, whose name I remember, very absolutely correct. He will be initiated by His Holiness Radhana Maharaj, and then everything will become easier. So he said we should have 10 minutes. Good, Pulkit, please take these 10 minutes.